It is good to see you this morning. This is The Journey, a podcast on leadership, culture, and creativity. This is episode 541, and we have a quick conversation to have this morning over four churches and one gospel. This past Sunday was a special Sunday for multiple reasons, and one of the main reasons is because we are five in the family, and on Sunday, we were able to be at four different churches, serving, preaching, and I'm talking about my kids, my wife, Areli, and myself. So when we were driving, and in this case, Areli and I, we were privileged to be at Coastal Bend Fellowship in Kingsville. Shout out to all of the families and brothers. Thank you, Brother Noy Trevino, for the opportunity to come and simply share the gospel. And my brother Noe recently just transferred into a brand new position within Texas Baptist and left the church in Kingsville. And I was able to be there with them and do pulpit supply for them. So Areli and I, we drove up to Kingsville and spent the morning with beautiful people. Sharing the gospel. Our oldest, which is Sarai, she serves at First Baptist Waco, the Spanish ministry in Espanol, Pastor Israel. Shout out to him as well, and blessings to you, my brother. Thank you for your leadership at First Baptist Waco in Espanol. Then our middle one, Rebecca, she served on Sunday at First Baptist Far, where we spent 8 years, the last 8 years, sharing ministry with some very close friend of ours and families that we have learned to love and walk together and doing life together also. So Becky was serving there on Sunday. And then Josue, which is our youngest student at Dallas Baptist, also got to serve and has been serving at Edis Church in Dallas. And Pastor Rolando Rodriguez also, his leadership and the opportunity to serve. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the opportunity to serve in all these churches on Sunday was simply a reminder that as diverse as our family is, and God knows that we are so diverse between having firstborns, you know, middle child, the last one, you know, two ladies, one guy, and then Areli and I, we're pretty much opposites when it comes to personalities. And yet what allows us to come into the month of almost July and getting into the 24th anniversary of marriage and as a family raising kids is definitely the centrality of one gospel. What you're going to find in the scriptures is basically, again, that the purpose of our unity is not just exclusively among ourselves, but it has to be with Christ. It is the centrality of the object of the unity. It's not just unity for the purpose to avoid divisiveness or to avoid confusion or to avoid racism. I think all of those components, which are extremely important, they are the result of a forensic unity. And this is the unity in Jesus, of Jesus, given and imputed and transferred to us. I'm saying all that because it was just that sense of understanding, that sense of finding and exalting the unity of Jesus, especially this Sunday. You know, again, we were driving to Kingsville and just rehearsing not only the experience of worshiping the resurrected Christ, which was the reason why we gather on Sunday, but then to see our family, again, within very diverse contexts between First Baptist and Far, First Baptist Waco Espanol, and then Edis Church in Dallas, and then Coastal Bend in Kingsville. Definitely very diverse, very unique scenarios between families and cities and languages and generations. And the beauty of that diversity is that we do not worship diversity. We do not worship, again, you know, personal preferences or context and backgrounds. We worship Jesus that allows us to celebrate our diversity as long as the diversity lines up under the Lordship of Jesus. Now, this is something that is very dear to our hearts because one of the things that we get to do is to serve within Texas Baptist in Espanol. And recently we've been on this journey of helping, supporting, and facilitating to churches, especially those who are without a pastor. And again, I went to Coastal Bend Fellowship in Kingsville, and this is one of those churches that is transitioning pastors. And again, I can list so many churches that are going, you know, through the transition of either losing, searching, navigating transitions. Tragically, many of our pastors today, we find ourselves in that verge of questioning whether we should continue vocational ministry. Some churches are also questioning whether they should continue, following the leadership of a specific pastor or pastors in their community. The other part of the conversation is obviously the conversation on succession, because succession is simply, again, just that understanding of discipleship, that we are passing the baton to the next generation. So again, this is a very, I think it's a little complex of a conversation, trying to search, how do we go, where do we go from here? You can take this conversation at a personal level, at a family level, definitely in a corporate world, because this is one of those scenarios that unavoidably we are literally passing the baton to the next generation. The question is, what are we passing on and how are we doing it? I think those are the two questions that we have to wrestle with. You know, what are we leaving behind, which hopefully, as you see in the title here on the screen, for those who are able to watch, some of you are going to listen to this instead of watching, but it's basically four churches because of what I just said about Sunday, but it's one gospel. So hopefully we are passing on a person, not just a bunch of doctrines, not just a bunch of personal preferences or ideologies or biases or preconceived ideas, but we are literally passing on a person. His name is Jesus. And how we do that, well, again, the Bible, because that's exactly where we come from and what we focus on, it doesn't just tell us what we pass on. In other words, what the legacy is, which in this case is a person, but the Bible also teaches us how we do that. See, 2,000 years ago, a lot of these churches in this time in human history, and I'm speaking of this experience of the church in the first century, the churches that originally, we call this the original recipients who received the message of the apostles, who received the word of these men and leaders that God appointed to speak into their lives, because of the lack of, again, of unity, because of the confusion of either calling or, in this case, acknowledging leadership in the church, where there is the scenario that they had to understand, or I guess forced to understand, because of either conflict, internal conflict in the church, or the unavoidable, historically we know, persecution that was coming their way. The apostles are going to come and said, let me give you clarity on what is it that you are passing on. And also, I'm going to give you through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, meaning, you know, this is the authoritative word of apostolic leadership. We're going to tell you how you're going to do it. This whole conversation is extremely important, and it was important 2,000 years ago. I believe it's important because, again, for us as parents, we see our three kids now young adults and making those decisions, exercising their worldview, which for us as parents, our plea, our investment, our desire has always been that the decision-making in their lives as a 23-year-old, 21-year-old, almost 19-year-old, talking about our kids, they process decision-making through the lenses of this gospel, of this person of Jesus. Once again, not only what is it that they're supposed to do, process life through that person of Jesus, but how you do that. I think that's exactly the conversation within local churches, within family nucleus, within marriage, singleness, adult life, elderly, and specifically if you are, as you do life in your marketplace area, what you do for a living, your income, stay-home moms, whatever you might find yourself, how do you do that? Well, again, this conversation is extremely crucial for, again, those churches who are going through the transition of searching for a pastor, transitioning for pastors. Many of our churches lost pastors just because of COVID and old age, death, a young age. I mean, there's so many situations and cases that we find ourselves into, and there's no other way. What you find in the Bible is basically the understanding that the entire conversation begins not with the need of the transition, not with the passion, not with the desire or the task to either find a pastor, to get married, to move into a brand new job or whatever you may find yourself, the whole conversation begins once again with the person of Jesus. In Bible terms, this is what we call the study or the doctrine of Jesus. Christology is simply just the doctrine, what Jesus said about himself. That's where the conversation begins. So I hope that as you think about, again, the newness of this beautiful Wednesday, we're in the middle of the week. Many of you will be gathering together for church services, online, in person, whatever you find yourself. I do hope that what we do, because we are building, we are creating the ministry of succession. Some of us, we find ourselves right in the middle of that transition. And some of us, we are the recipients that somebody left us, somebody walked away from us. So we find ourselves out maybe confused, maybe wondering. Tragically, many, many, many people are literally at the verge of just simply deconstructing their faith and saying, this is not working out because of X, Y, and Z. Whatever you may find yourself, the invitation this morning is that we begin the focus of our journey. In this case, churches searching for a pastor with the shepherd of the pastors, which is Jesus. The church is responsible to know what Jesus said about himself. I'm going to repeat myself on that. The church, as a father, as a mother, as a single lady, as an older adult, male or female, you and I, we are responsible to know what Jesus said about himself. We live in a time and age that everybody has an opinion. We live in a time and age that this understanding of authority, that we've been invested, that we've been empowered with authority, conveniently, we have translated and confused this term with autonomy, which implies most people, most Christians, most churches don't really know nor care to know what Jesus said about himself or what the apostles said about Jesus. But in this case, most Christians and churches, they are more enamored, they're more concerned, they're more driven by what they think about Jesus. Well, again, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the churches in Colossae, you can open your Bible in Colossians. That's one of the main problems that is going on in this church. And this letter of the Colossians is a letter where Paul is not going to play around. He's going to come not only by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but he's going to allow the Holy Spirit to not only intervene, but expose the confusion, the reality, the brokenness of a group of families, churches in this area for that matter, that have been infiltrated with a mindset, with a worldview that is against the gospel. It's called Gnosticism, but it's against the character of Jesus. See, the issue is Jesus. The issue is not the confusion that these people are going through, because the reality for what we understand, it seems that these churches were okay with their confusion. We've always said this in the past. A lot of times the issue is not what's happening. A lot of times is that we do not have a problem with what's happening. So in this case, Paul comes into the conversation. And if you notice on the screen, we are putting at the top the person of Jesus, because that's exactly what we are responsible and able to articulate. And by the way, when it comes to churches, as we search for a pastor, if the church doesn't know what Jesus said about himself, it's going to be very difficult to evaluate when a pastor or a potential pastor comes into the picture and shares, again, doctrine, shares and teaches the scriptures and preaches the gospel. The church is not going to have a point of reference on how to evaluate, you know, the pastor's doctrinal views and understanding of the scriptures, because it's pretty obvious. Doctrine is one of those things that it's understood and is perceived as processed in community. So this, again, view of a call, experiences, you know, search committees and dialoguing over those things. I'm going to say this again, as important and as a God calling experience of pastoral ministry is, and we do need pastors, we pray for God to call pastors, the church is responsible. I'm going to say this one more time. The father, the family, the individual is responsible at home, at work, within the life of the church, to know what Jesus said about himself. Because ultimately, everybody, every single church, with pastor and no pastor, with, you know, healthy leadership or churches that struggle leadership-wise, every single person, every single organism, every single church and community, we have an opinion of who Jesus is. We do. We all have that opinion. The issue is not what you think and what I believe about Jesus. The issue is whether my beliefs and what you think about Jesus, it's in line on what Jesus believed about himself. That's the real question. So again, this is why the conversation begins with Christ, with the person of Christ, with what Jesus said about himself. Now, Paul, once again, Paul dealing with these churches, says on Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and trying to get the church to line up their autonomous belief of who Jesus supposed to be to with what Jesus said about himself. And this is Paul speaking. And he, who is he? Jesus is the head. So automatically, he's placing Jesus in a very special place in the analogy, in the language, human terms of understanding, again, not just who Jesus is, but what Jesus does. This is extremely important. Not only who Jesus is, but what Jesus does. So Paul says he is the head, and that implies that we are the body. And this is the community of, again, this the word church or ecclesia or the word set apart is the understanding that the church is a group of people that we are set apart for him, because through the head, which is Jesus, we were set apart, because previously, before the head, before Jesus, we were set apart from him. I'm going to say that again. See, the concept of the church is the terminology, the understanding that we are set apart for him. That's what church means. We're a group of people set apart for him, for God, because in the past, without the head, without Jesus, we were set apart from him. We were enemies of God. So that transaction, that double imputation that we've spoken in the past, our sin given to Jesus, his righteousness applied, accredited to us, is what makes us the church. So we are not the church because we agree doctrinally. We're not the church because simply we gather in the same location every Sunday. Those things are the result of everything that I just said. So I'm not against the gathering, obviously. I'm not against, you know, church policies and bylaws and doctrine. All of those things are, see, but those are means to an end. The end is the understanding that Jesus alone himself is the one who made, who paid the price, who paid the ransom to take us from being set apart from him. Who is him? God. And now we are set apart for him. Now, the implication, and this is how he did it. This is just Paul, displaying the beauty of Holy Spirit inspiration, and then speaking into churches who are in desperate need of this message 2,000 years ago, and we assume that's exactly where we are today. We need this message. And he says, he is, talking about Jesus, he's the beginning. He is the beginning. And then he is the firstborn from among the dead. Again, the concept, the language that he's using of this communal firstborn, implying many others. I mean, it's just this understanding that this transaction or double imputation from being set apart from him to being set apart for him, it begins at a personal level through the head, through the headship, through the person, the function of Jesus, but it's in the context of community. So this searching for a pastor, this thing about not having a pastor, this thing about having a pastor that potentially is going to or needs to transition into the ministry of succession, is exactly in the context of community. And this is the invitation. This is where we are inviting the church to understand that he, Jesus, is the firstborn in the context of community, so that in everything, watch this, this concept of community is for the purpose, for the understanding that in everything, the Bible says, in everything, he might have the supremacy. So there is a reason why Jesus is the head. There is a reason why he is the first. There is a reason why he is supreme, why he is the firstborn. And apparently that reason is for us to be reminded that it is in that context that everything is ruled by the person of Jesus. Now, again, we don't have the time to go into the details of the context of this letter, but as some of you know and understand that, again, Gnosticism is exactly that very distorted version of Jesus, which implies that Jesus was not perceived as supreme in this relationship, in this context, in this understanding. And again, this is where Paul just comes and specifically directly sets the tone and simply says, Jesus is above every single thing. This is why I said earlier that we must begin with Christology. Now, Christology, what it implies, the person of Jesus, the lordship of Jesus, the fullness of Jesus, the understanding of Jesus, what it does is going to reflect, is going to imply, is going to now allows us to focus. Again, I'm speaking of churches going through the transition. Churches are going through the possibility of searching for a pastor, wanting to get a pastor, desiring to get a pastor, is the understanding that not only the person of Jesus is where we began, but now the purposes of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, the reason why Jesus came into the world. And this is what we call missiology. Later in our conversation, our podcast, we're going to dissect this whole issue of the mission of Jesus. But this is the time, as we reopen churches, as we are still trying to get this sense of recapturing the essence of the church, the invitation this morning is simply that we come back and reconnect, reapply, not only to the person of Jesus, which again, that implies everything that Jesus said about himself, but also why Jesus came into this world. So let me just close with this. When we speak of the mission of Jesus, if you guys can just help me to process this by understanding that the person of Jesus, Christology, is that understanding of the weekend, what happened on that weekend, that Friday, that Sunday, the death of Jesus, eventually the resurrection of Jesus. But missiology are the 33 years of life, what he did for 33 years. So my invitation, the purpose of our podcast today, if we can come back to understand that not only Jesus determines what the church is supposed to do in this time of transition, whether it's the reopening of the church, whether it's the restructuring of the church, whatever we may find ourselves, but also this is the understanding that not only Jesus defines what is it that the church does, but how we do that. In a more practical sense, that definition is definitely presented and clearly introduced by the 33 years of life. That's the mission of Jesus. So the question is, what's the mission of the church? The mission of the church is simply the life of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The mission of the church is the life of Jesus. What Jesus did, the worldview of Jesus, the feelings of Jesus, the desires of Jesus, the understanding of Jesus, that is the mission of the church. And if you notice in here, then the combination of both, which is the life of Jesus, in this case, the person of Jesus and his worldview, is going to eventually determine now what the church is. That's what we call ecclesiology. So again, I hope in this morning we can find some encouragement to, in the context of searching, praying, asking, going through again a lot of trainings and maybe getting some advice and do search committees. I'm talking about searching for a pastor. My prayer today is simply that if we could simply settle the issue that we do not begin with ecclesiology. We do not begin by looking retrospectively, introspectively. We don't begin by simply searching and finding out who we are as a church, doctrinally, style, language. All of those things are important. We put ourselves at the end of the conversation. We begin with Jesus. We affirm what Jesus said about himself, and we then launch into, because of Jesus, because of what Jesus declared about himself, having the supernatural ability to believe, this is the intervention of the Holy Spirit, to believe what he believed about himself, then we move into what Jesus did. So we affirm what Jesus said, and we simply become the messengers of what Jesus did. I'm going to remind everybody, the combination of these two things, the Christology and the missiology, is what the gospel is. So the gospel, obviously, is not ecclesiology. We are not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus, based on what he said about himself and based on what he did for 33 years. I do hope that you find this conversation helpful as as churches, as a church, as a community, you are searching, you are moving forward into the next step, into searching for a pastor, into deciding how you're going to do church planting if you're a pastor, into whether you are questioning if you should continue to be a pastor or you need to do something else with your life. Our prayer, our desire is that we find this helpful for everyone. We pray and hope that you guys have a wonderful week, and may the Lord bless you.